Thank you, Jill. Let's pray. Lord God, move in our hearts and minds so that we would see your greatness, your love for us. Lord, that we would not be overwhelmed by the darkness that we might see in the world or the hurt and pain that we ourselves might have or feel from time to time. But we see your grace is greater, and that you bring that into our world and the world around us. Bless us in that awareness and knowledge. In Jesus' name, amen. Making the most of your mission. I put an outline in your bulletin. I'd invite you to please follow along with me. The text that we have is used for missions quite a bit. One thing that you don't see, which is worth mentioning, there's something that has taken place just before this reading in Luke. We had it last week in our gospel readings. There were three guys that came to Jesus, and they gave their idea of how they wanted to spread the gospel. And each one of these three guys said, I have this way, I want to do it, I have this way. And they all had different ideas of how they wanted to go share the good news of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus' response. This is what he was saying because it's important to God. It's very, very important to share Christ. It's very important to really be a witness for him. You don't have to do anything weird. You don't have to do anything fantastic. Do you guys remember the event? Who did the Kennedy evangelism program? Anybody? You remember that? Yeah, and you go door to door. I can remember that. This is like going years back in the 80s. And what we would do is you would go up to somebody's door and you knock on somebody's door and you'd have about 2.5 awkward moments of telling them that you're not like the Jehovah's Witnesses that were just there. And then you'd have this brief moment that you could kind of share a couple questions with them or talk. And when I think about it, it wasn't very effective. It really wasn't. And it's not just me. I'm not complaining about it or I don't mean to make fun of it because, I mean, I did it and I was part of that. But I'm looking at the figures. The figures tell us that only about 3% of the people come into the church like that. And I was fascinated to see where everybody comes into the church. 78% of the people that come into the church by a relationship with somebody else. That's how they come into church. It's you and your workmate. It's you and your family members. It's you and your neighbors. That's where it happens. And that's what I see Jesus doing in this text. He's fleshing out for us how we are actually called to be missionaries, how we are actually called to share the gospel. Now, I just used a really big missionary. I mean, we were missionary. And people always look at this text, the one I put up there, and they think, that's a mission text. How many times have I heard that text used at missionary conferences, pastors? You know, and we have our emphasis on evangelism, you know, and so we're going to, Lord, send out workers. And we usually think that it's, you know, the pastor or the evangelist, or it's the missionary that goes out and does this. You know what's interesting is Luke has a number in there of 72. And when he says 72, that meant something to them. That number 72 actually goes back to Genesis 10. In Genesis 10, there is a list of the families that survived Noah's flood, that came from the ark with Noah and repopulated the world. It lists the nations in Genesis 10 that came to be as a result of those families. There's 72 of them. They knew this. They had in their idea that there were 72 nations in the world. Previously in Luke, he had sent out the 12, but now he's sending out a larger group that's symbolic of people going out to the world, of people going out, that's you and I. That's just the normal, that's everyday believers. And this word that's in this verse right here, that word is a very generic word for Christians. It says workers, but it's the same word that Jesus used when he was telling that parable, and the vineyard owner would come into the marketplace and he would find people that were just standing there and he'd say, "You go work in the harvest field. You go work in the harvest field." It's just everyday believers. It's you and I. And so we get the idea that he's giving us kind of a plan, a way that we can share the faith, a way that God would want us to in everyday life. And that's really what I'm talking about. When I put the model for mission in your text, I put something in there that everybody can do. Sometimes we don't think about it. My wife told me about a story that I had heard before about Billy Graham. And, you know, Billy Graham was he was going to do a rally in the Northeast. And there was another evangelist there as well. And the evangelist was speaking first. So Billy Graham went there incognito with dark glasses on. And he went and he sat in the crowd. And as he was sitting in the crowd, he was next to this older gentleman. And when the invitation came forward, it looked like the old gentleman wanted to go up there. And so Billy Graham asked him, he said, because he didn't recognize who Billy Graham was, and he said, "Do you want to go up there? I'll be glad to walk up with you if you want to receive Christ." And the guy turned and said, "No," he says, "I would like to go up, but I'm going to wait till tomorrow when the big gun is here." You know, and I mean, people think like that. It's just kind of our mindset is how we think. So Jesus is trying to, dissolve that myth. And that idea that it's really actually simpler than that. It starts off with the faith that you have. And I see that actually in the beginning verses of this text. You know, when he sends them out with nothing. He sends them out just wanting them to trust in him, asking them to know that he provides for everything. They've seen this. They've seen this in their interactions with Jesus Christ. He tells them, he says, "You're going out as lambs among wolves. You know, it's going to be difficult. Just trust in me." And they've seen that. They've seen his healing. They've seen the wonderful miracles that he's done that has inspired them. They have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's sending them out to be a witness of that. And when they go out and they enter into a town, they're supposed to do something. They just pronounce a blessing. They're supposed to bless the people and pray for peace. You know, and I thought about blessing. I thought about being able to, be a blessing. Be peace. Peace is hard to do. Think about, you guys that are at work. Think about some of the workmates that you have to work with. You know, think about some of the difficulties that you have to deal with. Think of family members. There's things that come up this week. Just a really sad situation with one of our members, Bill and Mabel Clemens. Had just one of those shocking things that happened. We'll pray about it later, but their daughter, Janice, has a son. It's her only grandson. And this was yesterday, actually, just our Friday, that he came home, got in his bed, and passed away. Just was gone. I mean, that's shocking. That's really, how can you have peace in a situation like that? So, I'm not talking about any sort of Pollyanna thing. I'm not talking about any sort of, thing that we're not going to deal with the struggles and issues that we have. But what I'm talking about is the faith in Jesus Christ and the hope that he gives us is greater than those. And it's able to speak peace into situations that are very, very challenging, very, very difficult for us. And, God comes to us and he speaks that peace into our lives and asks us to share that, asks us to be encouraged in this. What I've come to understand, that when I get up in the morning, and this is something that I've actually gotten the habit of doing, because as I was giving some examples, life can be very difficult. Now, as I wake up in the morning, I can have a really bad perspective. I mean, I can think that the day is really going to suck. And I will be really sad or really upset because I will be thinking of something from the day before. Maybe my thoughts from the night, maybe I dreamed or something, they're not clear. That's reality. What I've thought about and tried to get in the habit of doing is before I get up and my feet hit the floor, just remind myself that God is with me, that he is with me, that he has sent me out in this day and this is his day. And I'm going to just comfort myself in that because I don't know what the day is going to bring. And I'm going to let that perspective be in my heart and mind so it encourages me and it guides me and it leads me. And I come to the understanding with people who are going to bless their situations, who are going to speak peace into those situations, they're the type of people that have a bigger perspective on life. They have a much bigger perspective when they're looking at things. And they're able to sit back and look and see how God has a plan, God has a purpose, and they're able to kind of look at it from that macro perspective and not get caught in all the bits and pieces and all the difficulties and all the stresses that we're going to have to deal with. And I see that Jesus Christ did the same thing with his disciples when they came back. Now, they had great success, and they had momentary success in casting out demons, in healing people, and Jesus agreed with that, and he was happy for that, but he immediately brought them to the bigger picture. And he said, you know, you're going to have good days, you're going to have bad days. You're going to have days when everything's going well, you're also going to have days when they're not going so well. And he said, remember and be glad that your names are written in the book of life. And as we develop that perspective in our hearts and minds, it gives us the ability to bless our situations. And we're actually able to rise above what this world is going to continue to throw at us. And we're going to have a different perspective in Christ, which is what he's talking about. That's how we share it. That's how we go out into the world. And he's talking about them seeking relationships. So they would seek to have friends. They would develop relationships with people. And that means that in your workplace, in your failures, in whatever it is. You know, I really like the idea that we had at Vacation Bible School with these little lights. Because there's a way for us to remember. And, you know, we need to have these and God sightings in our mind. And to have the reflection of not so much what the bad is and what the horrible situation is, but to remember that God is present in those situations and we can turn to him. And, you know, it's a very powerful thing where if you're in the workplace and if somebody is dealing with a very, very difficult issue, if you were just to come alongside that person and say, hey, I'll pray for you. What if I, you know, I'll remember that because it can be difficult with what you're dealing with. And to keep our perspective as a bigger perspective of what God is going to do. And I think that's what the Lord is encouraging us to look at. That's what he's wanting us to see. Because he told them to go out and bring healing. He told them to go out and speak healing into the situations that they're in. That God can address this situation. Like the one that Bill and Mabel are dealing with in the family. Now, you can't change what happened, and you can't say that was good in any way, shape, or form. It's impossible. It's very challenging. But in that situation, you can say that God has encouragement. The Lord conquered death. And we know that. We might see death and difficulties in this world, but we have a hope that the world doesn't have. You see, when that reality starts to hit us, and I realize that the world is going to challenge that every single day, and we have to back off and we have to say, no, this is true. I'm going to encourage myself in this. And that's why they seek to visit with each other and develop relationships, because we need to encourage one another in this. We need to bless one another in this way. And Jesus sees this, and he knows that we're knit together as his body, and we need to be an encouragement. We need to help each other because we're going to deal with challenges. And that's why relationships are so important to God, because those in Christ are such a strong thing for us. And they're going to help you on the dark days. They're going to help you in the difficult days. And then you can share your joys also, because you're going to have joys. And those are an encouragement. You know, Jill shared them with me from time to time, you know, when, you know, like the little kids at the preschool. And these are just little ones. These are like, you know, one-year-olds, two-year-olds. I mean, somebody takes your toy and your world falls apart. I mean, adults are like that too at times, right? I mean, it's just, we don't show it like the little ones do. I mean, we just don't, lip doesn't come out. And we don't cry usually, but it does happen. But what's really funny is that when they just go, and they're like about this tall from the little ones that I see, you know, they come over and they get a hug. They just hug around the knees. And they're around somebody that loves them, and they sense that. You know, I mean, just everything kind of melts away and the world changes. You see, that's when we have to just embrace God. Let him embrace us, rather, because that's what he does. Just see that that's his love for us. And it changes our perspective on things. That's what he's sharing with us. He's saying, I've sent you out. I've sent you out. I'm with you. And these 72 knew that, and they were going out and sharing the joy that they had. And when that joy inspires us, that speaks to people. It really does. Because we're all broken. All of us are. And all of us need healing. Not just physical healing, it's spiritual healing, it's emotional healing. And I'm so glad that Christ speaks to that. And you know, he told him, he said, share the gospel. This is really, really good news. The world tries to take it away from us, but no, it is good news. It is really good news. That God is for us, how good is that? And he forgives us of our sins, how good is that? That I can live for him, I can be a light for him. Wow. I mean, this is really what life is about, right? I mean, this is really what it's about, and you've been called to be part of it. And I know we're not going to get it perfect. That's not the point. The point is witnessing to the light, not getting it perfect. These guys didn't get it perfect. But he still sent them out because he knew that the light was stronger than the darkness. In Romans, it tells us, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And there's a lot of talk in this world where we just feel like we're being overcome with it. It's where we have to just peel that back and say, no, Christ is still present. He's present in me and he's present in this world. You want to trust in him? Help me too, because I want to. And that's good news. I have this t-shirt that we bought a while ago. My son Tim's laughing because, yeah, it's really small, and we're going to save it for grandkids, actually. That's why we didn't get rid of it, because it's really cute. And, you see the front, it's like, be the moon. You know, there's a moon there, and it says, be the moon. So you're like, well, where is this going? You know, it's not really clear, right? But, on the back side, it makes it clear. It has a cross, and it says, reflect the sun. That's what it's about. We want to be the moon. We want to reflect Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you. You might be overwhelmed by your family, by your work, school. I mean, I don't know what it is, but just as Jill was saying, look for the God sightings. They're there. They're there. Look for those God sightings. Actually, it really might be good to go out and get one of these little lights and put it at your home. And you come home maybe before your husband or your wife does, or your kids, and you have the light out, and your spouse or your kids are going to know you had a God sighting today. And it will point us to God. May God bless us and keep us in our mission that he's called us to share. In Jesus' name, amen. Our service will continue now as we collect our tithes and offerings. God bless you.